Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she was house hunting, and when she got to the basement of one house, something stopped her in her tracks. She didn't even turn on the light. One look downstairs, she knew she had to leave.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Oh, if you have a real ghost story, we would really love to hear it. So you can call it in, 855-853-4802. You can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can hit follow wherever you're listening. And we are back on YouTube, so you can actually watch us there if you were brave enough to do that. I am with Lisa. Oh, and that's Todd.
Yeah, I was just going to say we got a comment on, because Lisa's been filling in while Tony's getting married or whatever the hell he's doing.
Well, he got married at our company retreat, let's be real.
Yep. But somebody said, oh, Lisa's so fun. So
that's so nice.
It is nice.
And I appreciate that.
And you are fun because now I've officially met you. You are really fun.
I try. And I really am self-deprecating. I will crack a joke at myself.
Anytime. No, it is kind of weird to do this without Tony.
Because I gotta be real to him. Oopsie.
Yeah, because he's like, hey, here's the thing. Let's be real. When Tony's on it, it's not exactly a ghost show half the time.
You're right.
It's kind of whatever's on Tony's mind that day. And I love that about Tony.
It makes it.
Because there is a ghost show somewhere in the ghost show.
Right.
There's a ghost story, excuse me.
Sometimes it's hidden deep, deep inside.
Yes. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, we should play a ghost story. But the funny thing about doing the show with Tony, and Todd's been doing it for years. I don't know how long. I think 8 or 9 years I've been doing this show. It's been like that. Even working with him in radio, I would never know where he's going to go. I don't know.
You got to be on your feet with him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Because all of a sudden he'll go in a different direction. It's like, okay, we'll talk about that. It's kind of like, for some people in radio, that would be terrifying.
Right.
I used to work with a guy who was like that at first, like, this is the plan, and I'm going to say this, and the punchline is this. Yeah. And I could never work like that.
I'm going
like
to say this, Tony and types. Then you're going to say this. I worked with a guy that would literally go, and what I'm doing for those listening, I'm literally pointing. He'd point to himself, then point to me, then point to himself, and then point to the computer meeting, then to the song, right? Like he would do that before we went on the air, and I'd be like, I know how this works. I've done it my whole life. You don't have to, you don't have to direct me is the way it is. But you're right. When we're with Tony, you just never know.
You just got to be willing to go in a new direction quick. And that's what I love about Tony. When we do these shows with Tony, I never know where it's going to go.
You just kind of sit back and let it fly, don't you?
100%.
Yeah.
And then you two end up talking about Wisconsin.
I know.
Which I kind of get it. I get a kick out of, and I'm like, I can't add anything to Wisconsin, but I'm enjoying listening to this. It's fun.
We work together every day, but he and I don't get a chance to talk. And so, like, the ghost show is only the only time we get to talk. And usually that's when we're reminiscing about stuff. And, he brings up his childhood. Can I tell one story from his wedding?
Please. Oh, yeah.
So I've known his mom a long time. And I love Peggy and Dave. They're great people.
I had a great time hanging out with his parents.
And I dance with her. I we had a lot of fun. She kind of yelled at me a little bit at the wedding because of something that must have happened like 30 years ago or so.
Oh my gosh.
But apparently I was DJing a wedding someplace that she was at.
I remember, yeah.
And apparently I went up to Tony and told him that his mom was drunk, but she wasn't. She wanted to make sure that I knew that she was not drunk that night. And I had to say it to her. I said, you know, you should understand this. I said, a lot of times what radio and communication and broadcasting is taking a story and then making it bigger. Mm-hmm. So let's say you had two drinks. I'm going to say you're drunk, right? If you call the radio station somewhat frequently, like every other week, and ask me if Tony's in the way, right? It's going to become, she calls every day asking if Tony's in the way, because that was the other thing she scolded me about. And I said, it doesn't mean anything. You know, whatever we talk about, dial it down about five notches, and then that's probably the truth. So I think we're on a clear level. But I had to apologize to Tony's mom.
Well, and I think she was talking about the wedding that you DJed, and I think you went, I DJed what wedding?
she said that I DJed Tony's first wedding. I don't remember that at all. I barely remember his first wedding. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you barely remember his first wedding because it was so long ago?
You were drunk.
Do you barely remember his first wedding because you were drunk? Because
you and Peggy were drinking.
Yeah, right. Peggy and I not only drank, but we took a flight to China and we picked up some illegal substances and brought them back to America. And that's how we've made our money over the past 30 years. See, Peggy, that would be an exaggeration of a story that never happened. But it was a lovely time. I love his parents. But yeah, I needed to get that off my chest.
That, and I danced with them too. And I should not have danced with anybody.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why I thought this many weeks after hip replacement, dancing was a good idea. But I'm like, I'll just keep my feet in one place and I'll just dance with my upper body.
But you didn't. We were dancing fools, the two of us.
I know. We danced a lot.
I mean, the stuff I was doing with my body, I didn't do when I was young. Me too. Me too. And Lisa, I can't even imagine. She was just going crazy.
Yeah, like you were doing like break dancing moves.
I know that she did that.
Yeah, I was like, and then when she spun on her head, right. I was like, how are you doing that?
Carol, in her defense, that was a mistake. That wasn't supposed to happen. She tripped over her own feet and just ended up spinning on her head.
That was the wine. That's exactly. Okay. Yeah. Because I was impressed by that move.
The wine.
Was it good?
It was good, but they were doing heavy pours.
Oh my God. They were like 12 ounce pours of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I noticed that. I was like, they are just giving everybody two glasses of wine at one time.
Well, Lisa, in the chat on the way home, made it known that it was the best wedding she's ever been to, ever.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that includes the weddings that I've officiated.
Correct.
I was going to say, in weddings you've actually participated in by being married.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Including. Yeah. Including the ones
it was a really good wedding.
It was a good wedding.
Yeah, it was a good wedding. Well, let's do a ghost story. I think this is interesting when I've thought about this and we've done episodes about this before. When you're a realtor or you're house hunting and you go look at a house that you get a weird vibe in, or you're the realtor and you are stuck there for the open house and you're waiting for people to come in and out, which I think would be super creepy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, because one of my friends, there was a house that he went to look at when it went on the market. It was the damnedest thing because it was like really old house. I would say built in the late 1800s. And it's like looking at all the pictures, there's like 40 some pictures online. It's like, okay, need some work. Oh yeah, that's not too bad. Oh my God, orbs. It's like this one picture was filled with orbs. Then it was back to normal. And then another picture filled with orbs. So I'm like, if that was your house, would you have even posted those two pictures? Or did these people not care? And they don't even see it the way we're seeing it.
Yeah.
So he went to go look at the house. And he said it felt like that in the house. Like The house is fine, 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 fine. Oh, weird, right here. Fine, fine. This doesn't feel right here. Like he's, I don't remember that it's the exact same rooms, but he said there were definitely places in the house where he felt activity. But the pictures on the realtor.com or whatever it was, it was just bizarre. Like normal pictures and then boom, pictures filled with orbs.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have posted those.
No.
Or the pictures of their a sink full of dishes. Don't post those either.
Right.
You know?
Like there are those pictures that, like, I guess the people just moved out and this person wants to sell it right away because that house is trash.
Or they don't care and their underwear are laying on their bed and the bed's not made. And like, clean up the house a little bit before you take pictures.
Staging.
Yes, exactly.
So that's kind of, this is what this story's about. Here you go.
Okay, hi guys. This is Autumn. I was relocating in 2012 from the West Coast to Ohio. And my husband couldn't get the time off from work. So my mom was nice enough to offer to come with me, which is great. So I had a real estate agent already out here. They had a list of houses for us to come look at. So we had been going around visiting various houses and we came to one. And I know it was on the east side of town, but I can't remember for the life of me exactly where. We walked into the house through the kitchen door, the side door of the house, and the real estate agent said, you know, just go ahead and take a look around and see if you like. You know, you've already seen a couple houses, so you know what you're looking for. Go ahead and you know, wander around. Just come find us when you're ready to go. So I thought, you know, the first place I want to look is the basement because I want to go check out the heater and the AC, see what kind of condition they're in. So I opened up the basement door and I took a couple steps down. I hadn't even flipped the light on into the basement yet. And I looked down at the bottom steps of the basement and it was as if the entire floor of the basement was just covered in black water. Like almost like the basement thing, but you couldn't actually hear anything. Like it was just the visualization of water. And it was so thick, it was almost thing at the bottom stairs. And I just felt this weight, this heaviness, this just like awful feeling. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to go down there. I'm just going to go ahead and I think I need to go now. And so I went back upstairs and I grabbed my mom and I said, nope, we're not buying this house. And she just looks at me and she's like, okay. So, and like I mentioned before, you know, my mom has always been really supportive and has never doubted me. I used to see auras when I was a kid. And I still see them sometimes, but, even when I experienced that and I would tell her about it, she never doubted me. She, you know, she never was like, oh, you're imagining things. She was always the mom that was like, okay, you know, explain to me what you're seeing, what you think. And then, you know, she would either research it or whatever. But she, like I said, she never doubted me. So she just looked at me and she's like, okay, not a problem. So we went and we grabbed the real estate agents and we were like, okay, so we're not going to buy this house. Let's go ahead and on to the next. And so they didn't say anything. So we headed out. So we got into our rental car and we're driving behind them. My mom looks over at me and she's like, so are you okay? Because you look like you saw a ghost. And I'm like, well, I'm not certain if it was a ghost, but it certainly wasn't anything good. And, she just said, well, like, you know, what did you see? And I said, I don't know, but there was something bad in that basement and they did not want me there. And she was like, okay, I mean, you know, absolutely. That's a valid reason to not want a house. So, alternately, the house that we did end up moving into, I had, almost the opposite experience. Like I walked into the house from the kitchen door and, the moment I walked into the house, it felt like literally the house took a deep breath and let it out. And I almost felt like I heard in my head, oh, thank God you're here. And I just immediately felt at home. Like I've never felt so connected to just a building before. Like, it didn't have any of my furniture in it yet or anything, but I knew immediately that that was the house I was going to buy. I've never really had any experiences in this house. I feel like there isn't necessarily a specific presence, but there is definitely an energy to the house that we live in now. I don't know that I'd call it haunted, but I definitely say that there's an energy to it now. Anyway, it wasn't anything like super weird or anything, but just thought I'd share it.
I think, what if it's kind of the same thing? What if it was something, she took it as negative, I've got to go, but it was something trying to show her she should not buy that house.
Right.
Like maybe the AC, the HVAC and the hot water heater and all that was really effed up. And it was like, don't even come down here. Do not buy this house. Get out of here. It's going to be a money pit. And then when she goes into the house, the other house that she bought, it's like, this is the one. You know? Or it could have just been negative energy and like, get out of our house. Todd, could you?
I'm so glad you're here. Buy this house.
So I love houses and I love like buying houses and all that. I think that's passed in my life. I don't do that anymore. But I remember going, I was searching for a house in a city, and I had a realtor who I really, really liked a lot. And, you know, saw some houses, whatever. And she called me up and she said, oh, there's this house I think you're going to love. Let's go see it. And as a realtor, you have to make sure that you pass it along to the realtor who has the house listing that you're stopping by and all that. So at any rate, we stopped at this house. Really cute little craftsman. I'm thinking, oh, this could be the one, blah, blah, blah. I'd driven past it many times in life. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Walked in and we're kind of looking around. I'm like, whatever. And she walks into the hallway to go back to the bedrooms. And she opens the bedroom. And there's a body in the bed.
Like a person?
Yes.
Or dead person?
Well, I think the person was sleeping drunk off person? Drunk. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, you did call ahead and whatever, right? You did make sure. Cause we literally like, she goes, we need to leave now. and I'm like, well, what did she see? Cause she didn't say. And then, you know, we're literally sneaking out of the house cause there's this drunk sleeping person in the bedroom.
Did you check for a pulse or did you just assume?
Get the hell out of here. I'm not touching a body. We just got the hell out of there. And then I'd never let her, even to this day when I see her, which is few and far between, be like, remember the time you took us into the house with the body in the bed? It's always a good conversation.
You have the best stories, Todd.
I think I would have been a wee bit curious, like, is this a passed out person or a dead person or a sleeping person? Like, what are we looking at here? But Todd's like, I'm out. They're both like, let's go.
Don't buy this house.
It was a sign
for you. It was a sign. Absolutely.
You're right, Satan. You're so right.
Thank you, Carol. At least somebody appreciates me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome too. Thank you.
You're welcome too. I don't. That would freak me out.
It was pretty freaky, but. I think for a way, in a way, that was a sign for me, don't go to this house, whether it's not a paranormal experience. But to me, that was just like, it's not the one.
This was the first house I looked at when I went to buy a house, and I knew the minute I walked in, I would buy it.
What was it about the house that you liked?
I remember I walked in about three steps and there was a voice in my head that said I could live here.
There
I knew
you go.
It. I knew I would live here. And then I took a few more steps and I looked out the back window and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to live here. Because it like basically the back looks like it's the size of a small park. And which is awesome until you have to mow it. And
then I was just going to say, what's that like?
At the time, it's like, I've got this wonderful park in my backyard. But it's a lot. But it's a great house. This was the one. And I went and looked at other houses and I hated all of them. I think I looked at five houses the next day. And I'm the fifth house. I'm like, don't even show me anything else. I'm done. I want that one. So within, I'm looking at this house. Within 24 hours, I put in an offer because I knew I didn't even, why bother?
That's awesome.
You know, so I think sometimes you know, and then sometimes it's like, there's some weird black, whatever it was that she saw. Right. And was like, get out of here. That was a lot. And then you see a dead body and that, you know, it's like, what if you would have found out it? Somebody had passed away? It's like, I don't think it would have found in home.
Yeah. I'd probably stop looking at houses with her then because she must be tainted.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot. Well, let's go to this ghost story.
My name's Megan. I'm in California. I have two experiences where I was pretty sick and had some paranormal experiences. When I was about 18, well, about a decade ago, my grandfather passed away. And on the plane ride down for his funeral from San Francisco to Southern California, I got really, really, really sick, and I had something flu-like, and, you know, was grieving. My grandfather's death was a surprise, and was really sad, really missing him. My whole family was kind of surprised and sad, and obviously. So, anyways, I get home, and I'm helping my family. We're all grieving together. My mother was actually also very sick, and we had to get through the funeral and, you know, the memorial celebration. After that, that night after the celebration, went home, eventually went to sleep, and I was just so incredibly exhausted. I fell asleep lying on my stomach. I started hearing this like helicopter sound in my ears, this like kind of anxiety growing in my chest. And then I wasn't able to move my body, and I wasn't able to speak or talk. And then felt my body sort of lifting first off the bed. I knew my body was still on the bed. However, I felt like I was lifting off the bed. As soon as I got to my chest and started to feel like my ribs and chest lift up off of the bed, I started thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die. And started to will myself back awake and was like trying to scream, trying to do anything to try to like bring myself back, and then was able to move my body. And I rolled myself over really quickly, and then I saw these lights bouncing around in my room. And the first thing that I said out loud, and I'm not really sure why, was just, Grandpa? My second story was actually in Paris, France. Caught something on the airplane, and on my third day of our trip was just deathly ill. Was staying in a hotel. I was so sick. I was able to like go around and do some exploring during the day, but then that night my boyfriend at the time was going to go out to dinner, and I just said, I just can't do it. Leave me here. Bring me back something to eat, and I'm just going to sleep. I need some rest. So, you know, I'm sleeping and I'm super sick. I have a fever and I'm coughing and my lungs hurt, and I'm dozing in and out of sleep. And I just keep kind of waking up and feeling like strange and disoriented. And I kept being like, oh man, you're really sick. You have such a bad fever, and just delirious. But then I kept waking up more and more frequently. And I remember one time waking up frustrated and pulling the blankets back up onto my body like they were down, you know, by my waist, and I had them tucked all the way up to my chin. And I just said, stop pulling the blankets off of me. And again, I'm not really sure why I said that, but the blankets were being pulled off of me, and I was pulling them back up, and I was like frustrated, but was still kind of hazy and delirious. I woke up, was kind of like, wait, what the hell just happened? And realized that I was not alone in the room. I didn't see anything, but I could definitely feel something, and realized that somebody in the hotel was trying to pull the blankets off of me, and I could not see them. So I was a little bit freaked out. I started kind of having these panicky feelings, like, I'm alone here in this country. I don't know anybody, and we don't have cell phones, and I can't contact my boyfriend if I need him, and freaking out. Ended up falling back to sleep, and when he came home, back to the hotel, I was just like, oh, thank God, I experienced this, and blah, 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 and I never experienced anything in the hotel again, but I was never alone in the hotel again after that. Ended up finding out after that experience, a couple days into our stay, that hotel had been converted recently, in, you know, the past 10 years or something, from a brothel into a hotel. So I find that kind of curious that I was alone, woman alone in a hotel room having blankets pulled off of me, and then nothing else happened in the hotel when I was there with my boyfriend. Thanks so much for the program. I listen to it all the time. Really appreciate all that you do. Thanks so much. Be well.
You know, it's interesting. Both of those stories kind of have a through line to them. She's really sick both times.
Yeah, that's right.
She is traveling yep. both times.
Yep.
Now, she didn't really talk about a fever much in the first one, but she had a fever, and a fever can make you quite delirious.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting. So are they paranormal experiences? Was the paranormal experience allowed because she was in a fragile state? Was it sleep paralysis? You know? Was it a combination of sleep paralysis, sickness, paranormal, all of the things? Because I do think it's interesting that both of them were very similar in that she was traveling, she got really sick.
And my thought process is, how great did that hotel look after the, you know, reconstruction of it being a brothel? Because my impression of what, and I've... Listen, Carol, Lisa, I've never been to a brothel. but my impression of what a brothel was, especially back in the day, was just small rooms where, you know, there'd be a little chicka chicka wow wow going on in them. So you're thinking about like her sickness and the paranormal. I'm thinking, how do you turn a brothel into a hotel?
They could take walls out between the little rooms and make them bigger rooms.
And make it a bigger chicka chicka wow wow.
Or it could have been, they could have kept it. It was a small rooms. It was a really cheap hotel in Paris.
Ah, yeah, could be.
Maybe it was that too. Because, you know, if she was younger, maybe on a college budget, it's like, we really want to go, but we want to stay where it's $35 a night.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's really interesting. And I'm really sad that she got all the way to Paris and she's that kind of sick. That would be so miserable.
That would suck.
That's like my biggest takeaway from that whole story is how sad that would be.
I want to go back to something you said, Carol, because I think that this is probably what was happening. Both times she was traveling, so therefore she is tired. I mean, right. Come okay. on, when you travel, okay. it's horrible. And she was ill. So being tired and ill on top of that, do you think that that's maybe all of her defenses were down and she's able to experience the energy a little bit differently?
Maybe. I mean, I think that's a possibility. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because it just seems like there's got to be more of a connection with her being sick both of those times.
She could try traveling again, getting sick, and see if something else happens, but there would be a lot of planning involved in order to pull that off.
Okay, right. I want to go to travel, Paris, and I want to have the flu.
You got to expose yourself to the flu.
Or eat some bad clams on the flight, one or the other.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine eating clams on an airplane?
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
I can't imagine eating clams anyway, let alone on a flight.
Oh, my God. So I don't know. It just feels, because part of it feels like sleep paralysis. Part of it feels paranormal. Part of it could be hallucinating because you've got such a high fever and it does put you into a weird state. I have had that happen. And maybe all of that just combines to letting it in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. Or just having a really bad experience in life.
She shouldn't travel.
No. Is that Stay it? Home.
Maybe. That might help. Well, share your real ghost stories with us. If you have one, you can leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. You could also write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber and get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, you could do that. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.